Let's pray. O Lord God, as we come now to the preaching of your word, bringing into this service all of our own worries, distractions, doubts, fears, hopes, aspirations, agendas, I pray that we can put all those things aside, and that through your Spirit working wonderfully, that we may see wondrous gospel truths, Christmas truths, here in our text for this morning. And I pray for your Spirit's unction. Oh, use your word so wonderfully as you have through all these many, many centuries. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes? This really is a Christmas message. And while our passage is Romans 1, verses 1 to 7, and it doesn't describe the events surrounding Jesus' birth into our world, what this passage does tell us is why the entrance of the Son of God into our hurting world is so profoundly exciting. Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, what it's all about is the exciting good news, the exceedingly good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, let's take this a step further. Christmas is all about what we see right here in verse 1 of Romans chapter 1, the gospel of God. That's the key behind Christmas, the gospel of God. The gospel is the good news that God cares. He cares so incredibly enough that God came down from heaven to accomplish that which we are unable to accomplish. God, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven and he really and truly saves us. He saves us from our hurt, our pain, our confusion. We live in a day and an age in which we don't even really know what we are or who we are. He saves us from our warring with one another, which really characterizes our society also. He saves us from doing stupid things. And then on New Year's coming up, we vow, I'm not going to do that again. And what do? We do it again. We do it again. And we do it again. He saves us from our neuroses. He saves us from the guilt of our sins and resulting condemnation. He restores us to the heart-filling love and warmth of our Heavenly Father. Christmas is the good news, the gospel good news, that God cares about you and about all the pain in this world, that he came down from heaven, took on our humanity so he could save humanity, so he could do something about what's wrong with this world. Christmas, the birth of the Savior, screams the good news that God cares. So let's dig into our perhaps a bit unusual Christmas passage, Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for what? The gospel of God. Now, the book of Romans is a Holy Spirit-inspired letter, which the apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome in the middle of the first century. And the first half of this world-shaking letter, this history-influencing letter, is actually a huge, glorious, in-depth gospel presentation of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And please don't miss this. The gospel, which is mentioned right here in verse 1, the gospel is an announcement of what God has done for us. It's the announcement that God cares. This really is wonderful. The gospel of God is both God announcing a message of salvation to us, as well as the announcement not of what we do, but what He, out of love and mercy, has done for us. So Christmas is God coming into our hurting world to do something about it, to save us. Christmas is the announcement that God has come to do the very thing we can't do. We keep trying and trying and trying, but we're never able to deliver ourselves from what's really wrong with us. And perhaps our inability to save ourselves might be a contributing factor to why some, maybe even many, struggle at Christmas. We try to deliver ourselves. We try to make ourselves happy. We try to create cheer. We try to attain a true peace of heart and soul. But truth be admitted, it all just keeps slipping through our fingers. No matter how hard we struggle, no matter how hard we try, the muck and the mire of this fallen world, it just keeps clinging to us. And this is why Christmas is such a time, such a message of hope. Hope and optimism, even in the midst of the sadness and the pain and the hurt, because it's about God coming into the mess of our world. God personally getting dirty, in a sense, to do the saving for us. Christmas really is about, verse 1, the gospel of God. The birth of Christ into our world announces the good news. God cares, you see. Now, have you ever wondered what the word gospel itself, have you ever looked at that word and wondered, what does it really mean? Where does that word even come from? Well, our English word gospel comes from Old English. In other words, centuries ago. It's actually a combination of two words. It's a combination of two Old English words, which mean good plus news. Good plus news. So the English word gospel literally means good news. And in fact, the Greek word, which is translated as gospel in our Bibles, also comes from the combination of the very same two words, good news. And so even the Greek in the original language of the New Testament means good news. And that's exciting. So with this idea that Christmas is all about the gospel of God, that Christmas is all about the good news, let's go deeper in exploring why Christmas, why the gospel of God really is the best, the greatest of news. Let's skip down to verse 3 now. Concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh. Now, perhaps the first question that needs to be asked right off the bat regarding verse 3, since it says, concerning his son, whose son is this referring to? If you look back at verse 1, you'll see that Paul's writing about the gospel of whom? The gospel of God. And now here in verse 3, Paul is telling us that this gospel, this good news, concerns his son. In other words, the gospel is about God's son. That's critical to catch if we're going to be saved. The gospel is about God's son. That is mind-blowing, incredible. And what this then raises is another question. Who and what is God's son? It's all significant. Answering this question is so vital as to why the gospel and why Christmas is such good news. If we get the answers wrong, then all we have at Christmas is the birth of yet another baby. Not a bad thing, but just another baby being born. Or at best, the birth of yet another religious prophet born to lay yet more do's and don'ts on our backs. In other words, we don't need another religious leader. We don't need more prophets to come and tell us what we need to do to save ourselves. Because simply put, we can't save ourselves. We can't do enough or good enough. Human history is the story of our attempts. Even much of what's in the news every single day is the story of our attempts to save ourselves and our always, always failing. What we need is someone who actually has the ability, someone who actually has the power to do something, the power to save us. What we need is for God to really care and step in into our world and do something. So again, who and what is God's Son? Well, this term here, the Son of God, concerning his Son, that's the Son of God, appears some 43 times in the Bible. And while it has several meanings, what Paul has in mind here in the first part of verse 3 is that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And as we'll see in a minute, this is incredibly good news. This is astoundingly good news. In fact, this is the greatest news ever, because only God has the power, only God has the ability, and even the self-giving love and grace required to really and truly and fully save us. The fact that Jesus is the eternal creator of the universe, the fact that he is God's Son, the fact that he is God, has the most incredible, far-reaching implications for us and our condition. Because it means that at Christmas, the God of glory came to earth to save those who can't save themselves. God cares. Looking further at verse 3, concerning his Son, who is descended from David according to the flesh. Here in this single verse, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, combines two glorious truths about who and what Jesus Christ is. Again, Jesus Christ is God. He is fully God, and at the very same time, this is again mind-blowing, this is all kinds of mind-blowing truths. Jesus Christ is fully God, and at the same time, he is fully human. Concerning his Son who was descended from David according to the flesh. Now, when Paul says that Jesus was descended from David, he's declaring that Christ is the long-awaited, the long-promised Messiah. He's the one who's going to deliver his people. Then Paul goes on to verse 3 to bring in the incarnation. That's one of those words that we use, especially around Christmas time. The incarnation. He says, descended from David according to the flesh. God's Son, or his Son, descended from David according to the flesh. Now that word incarnation, it's really very important. It comes from another analysis of a word. Incarnation comes from two Latin words. In, which means into, combined with caro, which means flesh. So in caro, incarnation means into flesh. So what's so incredibly wondrous about Christmas is that God came to earth. He came into flesh, our flesh. In fact, what Paul has in mind when he uses that phrase, according to the flesh, is the idea that the eternal, all-powerful, everlasting, invisible second person to the Holy Trinity added to himself the fullness of our humanity. This is exactly what we're told in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word, that's God, that's Christ, that's the second person of the Trinity, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Those are things we need, grace and truth. Leon Morris states, in one short, shattering expression, John unveils the great idea at the heart of Christianity that the very Word of God took flesh for man's salvation. God cares. You see, incarnation, in flesh. He became one of us. So here's the good news of what Christmas, the incarnation, is telling us. God looked down from heaven and shrugged his shoulders and walked away. No, that may be how it feels. God looked down from heaven. He saw our pain. He saw our suffering. He saw our condition. He heard our cries and he came down, even getting dirty in all of the pain and suffering of our world to save us. God cares. And this may very likely, because I've quoted it a number of times through the years, makes us think of Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23 regarding God seeing the suffering of the people of Israel. Exodus 2, verse 23 and 24. If you want a good memory verse, I think this, I'd commend this one to you. And the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning. Wow. Their cry went up to heaven. God saw, God heard, and God sent Moses as a type of Christ. God cares. But whereas in Exodus, God, if I can say it in a sense, merely sent Moses. At Christmas, it was God personally who came to deliver. And not only did he come to earth, but he came fully human, the implications of which for us are wondrous. To see some of these implications of Christmas, consider what we're told in Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18 regarding the incarnation. Hebrews 2, 17, 18. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. That's Christ. Christ, for this mission of salvation and compassion and all of this, Christ had to be made like his brethren, that's you and us, in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Imagine, Christmas means that God was made like us in every respect except for sin. Just like we're vulnerable, Christ became vulnerable. Just like we hurt, so he subjected himself to hurt. Just like we become depressed, so he experienced depression and sadness and discouragement. Just like we can die and will die, he died for us. God cares. Christmas and the gospel and the incarnation, God hearing our cries and coming down from heaven, his being born into our world, fully human, means he really, truly, personally, experientially knows our struggles, your struggles. Hurts, pain, confusion. God cares. God did something. He was made like us in every respect. He's walked in your shoes. He understands you far more than you realize. Jesus cares. Timothy Keller asks, what is Christmas? Christmas is saying something no other religion wants to say. No other religion dares to say, that the God who created the universe has been on the table. Hunger, loneliness, homelessness, grief, rejection, betrayal, torture, injustice. He has experienced it all. What does that mean? Have you been betrayed? So has he. Are you broke? So is he. Are you lonely? So is he. Are you facing death? So did he. You can go to him. He's the wonderful counselor. You need to trust him. You need to go to him with what you have. He's our great sympathetic high priest. He cares. So Christmas and the gospel and the incarnation of Jesus Christ, it's all about God coming down from heaven, being born into our hurting and fallen world. He came into the world in which we have made such a mess of in order to save us. That's all of grace. And we need him to save us again and again and again. That is because we can't save ourselves. I can't say that often enough. We can't save ourselves. We keep trying, don't we? We keep looking to saviors. Over and over again we do that. No, only Christ. So let's now look at verse 4.
here in Romans 1. And was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When Paul writes that Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, he's saying that through the explosive, the mind-blowing power of his rising from the grave to everlasting life, Jesus Christ is now declared for all to know, for all to grasp, that in him and through the power of the Holy Spirit, death has been conquered. Death has been defeated, and a new redemptive era, a new era of salvation and hope has begun. Jesus Christ, through his incarnation, Christmas, through his death, Good Friday, through his resurrection, Easter, is powerful to save absolutely anyone and everyone who casts themselves upon him, and he can save you no matter how bad you have been, because his salvation is bigger than any and all of your sins. Do you realize that? His salvation, the work of the cross to save us, is bigger than any sin you could possibly commit. God cares. So with this good news of the power of salvation through the Christ child that was born on Christmas morn, let's move ahead to verse 7. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you. Look at the result of that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, how is what's described here in verse 7, how is this possible? How? How can a failure like myself possibly be loved by God? How can sinners like us become saints, holy ones? How can rebellious, unbelieving, doubting, untrusting ones like us know peace with God? Please understand, every other religion, other than biblical Christianity, is all about our doing. Our doing things to attain salvation, whether it's nirvana or whatever it may be, and it always fails. We don't have that kind of power. We don't have that kind of strength, ability. But here's what's so radically different. Here's what's so gloriously unique about Christmas and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not your doing. And that's good news itself. All of us should go, you know? It's not about what we do. Rather, it's all about what Christ has powerfully done for us. God come to earth doing it for us. So please don't miss this. It's not Jesus' wonderful teaching, such as Sermon on the Mount, about how to live a good life that saves us. That's not what saves us. It's not living out the Sermon on the Mount that saves us. It's not loving our neighbor or whatever it may be that saves us. The good news of Christmas is that God came down so that he could do what we can't do. God saves. God cares. It's what Christ has done for us in securing forgiveness. Complete forgiveness, complete reconciliation. It's what Christ has done for us that removes the anger, the white-hot anger, the wrath of God directed at our sin, our doing wrong. So it's removing all of that so that God can now love us and so that we can enter into the warmth of our Holy Father's love and embrace and acceptance. And so that we can now be at peace with God and even be called saints, holy ones. I know our tendency, at least within our circles, is always to refer to ourselves as sinners. But it is interesting how, if you read through the New Testament, like Paul's letters, he writes to the saints at whatever church. And I'm kind of convicted. I have been for a few years now. We need to call ourselves saints more often because that's what the cross does. We're saints. We're holy ones in Christ. So here's the good news of Christmas. We look away from ourselves. All of our failed attempts, we look away from that. All of our self-effort at saving ourselves, even at making ourselves better. Instead, we look straight to Christ, who was born on Christmas morn, straight at the God who cares, and we embrace the gospel good news by faith alone. It's that simple. He did the work. We just embrace it and accept it. The good news is encapsulated in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." There's love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life, eternal life." So here's the question. What are you going to do with Christmas? More specifically, what are you going to do with the baby that was born on Christmas morning? What are you going to do with Christ? There's only two options. Either you reject Christ and keep struggling to do it yourself. And personally, I can't think of anything more depressing than to keep trying to save yourself. Or you give up on your own self-efforts and you embrace Christ and all that he has done for you. For you see, God cares, God saves, and Christmas is the proof. Let's pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we do praise you that you so loved the world that you sent, you gave your precious, precious Son for our salvation, to save us, to deliver us. We thank you for the gospel of God concerning your Son, God incarnate, taking on our flesh, paying for our sin on the cross, defeating death, rising to everlasting life through the resurrection. We thank you for such a great salvation. And I do pray for anyone here, anyone watching, listening, if they don't know you, if they have not embraced Christ, that this would be the day of salvation. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.